Father, we thank you so much for your presence on this line. Thank you for the hunger you put in all our hearts for more of you. Thank you so much for drawing us to your presence. Thank you for your word. Father, we look to you. We wait on you. Holy Spirit, we depend on you. Are you our teacher? You are our guide into our truth. Open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your word. Grant us understanding that we might walk in the counsel and knowledge of your truth. Father, let your word bring transformation, edification, inspiration, encouragement. Fortify us, O God, on your word. And receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God is so good. Hallelujah. Thank you all so much for your prayers. We really feel your prayers and we're encouraged, and we are also praying for you, and we believe in God for you and for your call, your ministry, your family, and the things that you're believing God for. I remember that one of the reasons we're on this line is because we know that you are praying people. You have given yourself to a life of prayer, and because of your devotion to prayer and your longing and relationship with God, so we have created this opportunity for us to encourage or to hear, you know, just to learn together. So that's why we use this time for sharing and from learning together, because we know you are always praying. So thank you so much for your faithfulness and your commitment. Amen. I pray that the Lord will grant you encouragement and understanding in whatever the Lord has for us tonight. Amen. I thank God for the time that He gave us last week as we're looking into, you know, seeking the heart of God more rather than His hands. And we know that God in His wisdom always draws us more to Himself, to His heart. Like we're talking about last week, the reason why God walked the children of Israel through the wilderness was to really cause them to see His heart, to come after His heart, rather than being distracted by His hands. But we see how we are all faced with this distraction in this world because of the cares of life. So today, we want to continue a little bit in that direction of really going after God's heart. History and the Bible teaches us that's what God is looking for. And God has always used David as an example for our generation, the one who found his heart and what God did for David. So we're just going to continue because we are in a generation that, like no other generation, that is really longing and looking to the coming of Christ. And we're also in a generation that is overwhelmed by the distractions of life. And so we want to stay on this track of really going after God's heart and waiting on Him. So today we want to continue, and I want to read a few scriptures and just see how the Spirit of God will direct us. Sometimes I ask, when I read certain scriptures, I tend to ask God question and based on the scripture, and then really cry out for understanding why the focus of God will be on that scripture. So one of those scriptures, like we read last week, is in Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus was teaching from the Beatitudes up to this particular scripture. I want to read Matthew chapter 6. I want to start from verse 25. Or let me just start from verse 24. He says, Jesus was speaking, he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That word mammon means means riches, the riches of this world. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is not, is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? He told him, he was saying, O you of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles as the world seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all these things shall be added unto you. Here, Jesus is not saying we should not walk, we should not desire material things, we should not have material things, because right in the last verse I just read, it says all these things will be added, meaning God will bless us beyond our measure, beyond exceedingly abundantly, beyond our expectation. God will give it to us. It's all made for us to enjoy. But why will the focus of the Lord himself, the one God manifested in the flesh, who led the glory of heaven to come to this world, why will his first major sermon, his first major teaching at this point focus on the intentional about making the kingdom of God your first priority, the heart of God your first priority, seeking the kingdom first and everything will be added? So I asked the question, so we will be able to see this, gain this understanding through other scriptures. So I want to read another scripture tonight. Having that in mind, focus is seeking the kingdom of God first. So I want to go to Luke chapter 15. I want to read another scripture here, starting from verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, this is Jesus again, speaking in parables to establish kingdom understanding. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his goods, his substance, with riotous living. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would gladly, or fain have filled his belly with the husk the fools that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to the father, to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth his best robe, the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, see, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gave me even a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And then the father said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. He called him and said, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have, not some, all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. Father, grant us understanding and grace, Father, to digest and to walk in the understanding, the revelation of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, the first scripture I read was very emphatic about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he mentioned, he used very strange illustrations. Say, don't take thoughts. Don't be, in other words, don't be worried and concerned about your food and clothes and, you know, material things, you know. Then he used illustrations like birds, used illustrations like grass, you know, as if he doesn't know what he's saying. He says, all these things don't matter, but God takes care of them. The grass is nothing, but God clothes it with glory. He says, how much more us that is created in his image and likeness. Then he says, the Gentiles, meaning the nations, he said, this, all these things are their priority. This is the focus. This is their priority. They seek after these things. This is what they go after. This is what they want. That's all they do. Now, but before then,
Jesus says in verse 24, we cannot serve two masters. We can't serve two. It says, either you love one, you hate the other, or you hold on to the one, or you release the other. So, beginning from that verse, that's Matthew 6, here Jesus is saying, before he went into the seeking part, whatever is your master is what you'll be devoted to, is what your allegiance will be. And he's saying, there's no way you can have two masters. You have to only have one master. So you can't say God is your master and then you say material things are your master. So first, God was qualifying, he was getting us ready to give us understanding on the word seek. So here, then he went further to say, okay, if the world has made material things their priority, you see, then the moment you come into the kingdom, that should not be our priority or our first pursuit. You see, because the reason that shouldn't be our first pursuit is because our Heavenly Father knows we have need of these things. He's not ignorant as a father that we have need of these things. That's why he made them available to us in the first place. He says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's say his heart, his presence, to be one with him. And he says, then all these things will become ours. We'll inherit it. So, the first of all, the world, he says, these things that the Gentiles seek. Gentiles means a hidden, or the world means the people that have not seen the light, or they have not come to know God, or have come into the kingdom yet. So, like when we were unbelievers, we had no clue, no knowledge of God. Of course, we were in darkness. So all we knew was this world and how to survive, how to achieve, how to be successful, how to establish ourselves on the power of money or the things of this world. So it says the world, of course, it's okay for them to major and put in their strength and be diligent, put so much their whole life on material things or how to survive in life here and make it their master. So it's okay because they don't know God. But he said, with the moment we come to the kingdom, our priority changes. So to understand this principle, I read the second scripture where Jesus was speaking to us with a natural example, but again he was speaking about spiritual principles. And I always understand things naturally and then I get it, what God is trying to pass spiritually. So here Jesus was talking about a father that had two sons, and he says this father had a lot of wealth, he had money, he had things. He said these sons' desire where they came and started saying, give us material things, give us the goods. He's not dead yet. See, give us. So they were just asking for things from their father. So he says, okay, their father gave them the inheritance, gave them things, goods. So the younger one took all this wealth, all these goods that he gave, and like you see in scripture regarding the prodigal son, just went and lived a very selfish life with it. And he lived a very, very, he wasted, the Bible is what, he wasted it on himself. And he came to the point he had nothing to show for. He was all gone. And he was empty again. And in that condition of emptiness, he found himself in the lowest place he could ever be. And in that very low situation, where now there was no more material things, all these material things that he had could not fill a void that was in him. He couldn't satisfy the void. So now he was in a position where the material things was no more there. But he came, the Bible says he came to his senses, meaning somehow he received a revelation that all these material things he was looking for did not fill something that was missing in his life. And he was used all these material things to try to fill it, but it was all in vain. And now that void was still there, but now he realized what the void was at this low position. And he came to his, and he realized he was missing his father. He was missing his father. And he says, you know, my father's servants, they have enough, they have everything, and I'm here, I'm suffering. So now I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back to my father. And when I get back to my father, I'm not even going back anymore just for material things. I just want to go be around him. I'm no more worthy to even be called his son, you know, but I'll just go to serve and just be around him, just to be around him. So the son now came to his senses and realized he has to go back home, go back to his father. It's no more worthy. So the Bible talks about he went back to his father, and now he came back no more seeking for material things. He came back now seeking for his father, just to be back to his father's house, to be with his father. So now that he came, he was no more seeking, he was no more seeking the hands of his father, but now he's seeking the heart of the father. As soon as the father saw him, the father kissed him, loved on him. Guess what the father was celebrating? The father brought out the biggest calf. He brought out, he told his servant, gave him shoes, gave him rain, gave him rope. And he said, let's celebrate. He threw this big bang. My brothers and sisters, could you just imagine in the physical now? We're talking about the natural. What makes this man so happy? He was so happy. It's like something has finally hit home. Now, he was so happy to the point that he now called for, he was celebrating, and he was bringing out the best that he had to celebrate. Why will this celebration? Why? The reason for the celebration was revealed to the son, the other son. The other son was on the other side. He has made walk his master. He walks. All he does was just walk and walk and walk and walk. And still did not really know his father's heart. So when he came back, he was watching this great celebration, hearing this amazing noise and having this great celebration. And he asked, what's going on? He said, it's because the brother has come back home. He's come back home, means the father's house. Then when he came to his father, he said, oh, I've been serving you. You know, I've not done anything wrong, but I've been serving you. And you've not even given me even a little cup to celebrate with my friends. So here is another aspect. One had a lot of wealth, but was empty. He didn't know, he doesn't know his father's heart. That just came back. The other one has made work his master and still doesn't know his father's heart. So he came back and the father said, first of all, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Lost and found.
He was dead. Though this brother wasn't dead, but he said he was dead, but now he's alive. He said he was lost, now he's found. He's back.
So he says, then of course he opened his brothers, he says, "You're my son." And he says, "All that I have belongs to my son, to you.
All, not some, all
belongs to you." So what does it really mean? What is the father could be? Why, first of all, why is the father so happy? And then why is this revelation of son? He had two sons, but he never, it was like they were not there, they were not really existing. One has made work the first agenda. Work, 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 work. It could be ministry work, it could be praying, it could be mean, whatever it is that is done for God, on behalf of God, but still, there is no intimacy with God. And the other one was, all he wanted was money, material things, blessing, prosperity. The focus, the priority was blessing. But still, both of these two, there were emptiness there. The emptiness in your heart was also affecting the father's longing. He had physical sons, and both of them had priorities, but the priorities was not, their father was not first. So because their priorities was misplaced, they were empty, and their father was longing to feel his presence, feel himself with their presence. So in this story, Jesus was now, let's go back to Matthew 6. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Why? Because I asked you, I don't say, "God, why?" Can you explain to me why? So I see why. The first thing is, he says, it makes God happy. The Father is happy because all he wants children. He wants children that are his friends. He wants children that really know his heart. All he's happy about is, "I just want my children to be my presence, to come after me, and I'll go after them." You know, when the son, finally, the one that was lost, finally made up his mind to seek his father first, the father was waiting. When he saw that now the son was seeking him forth, see the joy. He went and kissed him. He killed his. He was so happy. So one, it makes God so happy. It makes God really happy that we don't put money above him. We don't put jobs above him. We don't put anything above him. We don't put any material thing. Nothing that God has given to us in this world should be above him. It makes him happy. When we practically make him know you are number one, and we show that in the area of relationship, he's very happy. Now, it's not only that seeking God first makes God happy. One, seeking God first makes us fulfill the reason for which we're born. We're born to be children. We're not born to be tax masters. We're not born to, our first priority was not born to work. Our first priority was not born for material things. We are born to have a father. We are born because we needed a son or a daughter to build a relationship with. Our parents' first priority was not to give birth to us, so that the first thing we want is material things, their wealth. No. Or I gave birth to you so that you can just be working for me. No, they gave birth because they wanted children. Why do we need children? We need friends. We need people that are connected to our heart. So the first thing God wanted was, he wanted sons. He wanted children. He wanted daughters. He didn't want workers. He had servants. They can work. He has wealth. He wanted us to enjoy the world as children, not away from him. So, another reason why we have to make God first is that
We need a father. We were born to have a father. Once we miss the place of a father, our whole life is misdirected. A lot of the world view and the Christian world view a lot of people have today comes, if it's not based on really having God as a center, being having the heart of God, our view is distorted. See, so first of all, God needed children and we need a father. That is a healthy relationship. So without that, there's a void. See how God described the void in the heart of his son that does not know the first priority of the son is his father. How God described it. God says, if the priority of any son or daughter is not first the father, even in the physical, if their first priority is material things, if their first priority is work, God describes them as dead. And he describes them as lost. Why will he describe them as dead and lost? Because from the first time God created man in the garden, he knew that we needed things. We came into this world with things already made for us. They were in place for us. God's intention was not for us to come and start working for things. He needed relationship. That's why he created us. So, because he put Adam and Eve in that garden, but then he realized that man also needed a physical relationship. So he made the woman. So now he has the man relating with the woman, and of course then relating with the God, which is a spirit. So God clothed them with his righteousness. What does it mean to clothe them with his righteousness? He clothed them with his presence. With his presence. So, it was not until the fall, which is another deep area, I think we've shared that in the past, not until they disobeyed, and of course because of will, God gave every man a will, and they were tempted based on that, you know, they gave up their will to their self-will when they were tempted. It was not until then that God lifted his glory, lifted his presence, lifted his glory, that intimacy. That was that's when he said the soul that sinned shall die. That's when we say we are now lost. What is it when they say Adam now the soul, you know, he was separated from God? That was lost. When we talk about people lost now, absence of God. They are no more clothed with his presence, no more connected to his presence, to his glory. So what we lost from the fall was a separation from the Father's heart, was a separation from his presence, from his glory. So material things has never been a problem for God. God has always, God is a father. He made this world for us to enjoy. But there is no way, no human being can truly enjoy this world without God. So that's why Solomon said, even though he had all the riches of this world, he had everything richer than any human being that lives, God used Solomon to show that the heart of the richest is still empty, is still void, is dead, is lost without God. No matter how the world paints it, no matter how they make it look like, no matter how they make it smell like, no matter how they decorate it, the Bible does not lie. Solomon made it clear. The more wealth I had, the more it was a vexation to my soul. I was empty. I was void. That's what Solomon said. It's all vanity. Without God, wealth is vanity. It's pain. So, and any rich man can never deny that. No matter how they look on TV, God can never lie. So God, from the life of the prodigal son, you can see it. He gave him wealth. But wealth without the father's heart, you become a rioter. Your life is uncontrollable. You can look good outside, but what is going on your inside, only God knows.
And the life of the prodigal son describes that. That wealth without the presence of God is a disaster. Because of the heart of man. So, with these examples, Jesus came knowing that he came from heaven, knowing that man has fallen. The first thing he preached was the glory of the kingdom, the beatitudes, and everything else. So when he got to this point, he said, listen, God takes care of the grass. God takes care of the birds. God put this wealth in this world for you. If you dig down into this ground, you see gold. God has made provision. From Genesis to Revelation, everything you see has always been in the earth. Knowledge grants you more revelation on how to make wealth. So, from Revelation to now, wealth has increased. So, God has enough provision in this earth. And Jesus says, that's not the fall. The reason I came is to restore that which is void. That void, that emptiness, that which is missing. And that which is missing is the restoration of the Father's heart. For you to now become son again. And for you to know you have a Father and his God. And until that takes its priority, every other thing will make your life miserable. So you cannot have two masters. You can't be seeking money, because money will never fill that void. It's either you make God first or you make money first. One of them has to be a priority. And he's saying, I'm saying to you, Jesus is saying, make God first. And then here is the wisdom. And he said, once you make God first, now, we discussed that last week. Unfortunately, because it's a mystery, if you start seeking God first, naturally it looks like the material things are delayed in coming. So it's like you don't, like David, sometimes it looks like, oh my God, the more I seek you, Psalm 73, the more I'm trying to purify myself, the more I'm consecrating myself, the more I want to really know your heart, the more it looks like all my friends are getting better. Whatever they want, they have, whatever they need, it's like everything is going well for them in the physical. Everything they want is going. So, like the wilderness story I told you last week, once you are being processed through the ways of God, it just looks like your physical area is delaying the expectation. It's like, okay, where is my this? Where is that? So David is a good example of Psalm 73. The more he was focused on the heart of God, at a particular point in his life, it looks like he had nothing. It looks like God has forgotten that he needed material things. It looks like God has forgotten that he needed the things everybody paid. But he says, at some point, if you read this, it's amazing. David said, the more I sought him, the more I wanted to be more like God. Somebody has his phone on a speakerphone, please. If you can take it off a speakerphone, that would be great. Okay. So, he said, the more I was seeking God, the more he became envious. He became envious and he wanted to almost backslide. What does it mean, backslide? He was beginning to feel the impact of lack. He was beginning to feel the wilderness experience in his life. He was beginning to see the barrenness of the places of his expectation, almost like God is not there for him in that area. But in Psalm 73, he says, until he went back, he went to pray, he went to the sanctuary, God now opened his eyes and he saw the ways of the wicked. What did he call the ways of the wicked? The people whose focus in life has been material things. The people who has made material things their priority. They get it because that's what they're seeking for. That's their prayer. They were getting it, but they were empty. So David saw that though they will have all this wealth, but overnight they will disappear because their foundation is not built
on God.
Any little tragedy, any little calamity, that whole thing is gone and they are empty.
He says their ways will disappear like a vapor because they had no grounds. So David repented.
So here in David's life again, before I switch from that, you see that after that very short moment of time that David was seeking the heart of God, that very short moment of time, it looks like he was lacking so much. But God was developing, God was building that character, that relationship on the inside of him. Now, you all know the story. It's a perfect example. After now, David found the heart of God. After now, David has matured in the presence of God. After now, this one thing that David focused on materialized, which is the presence of God, which is the heart of God. Now that David became a son, you all know the story. What happened? God made him a king. God made him to rule over material world. God not only made him to rule over material world, God gave him authority to rule over everything relating to material world. The things he thought he was being denied, when he was seeking the heart of God, God now told him, you are in charge of everything. After he has found the heart of God. So when Jesus says, seek you first the kingdom and his righteousness, he knew that when you intentionally focus on that, you are going to go through a wilderness time. You're going to go through a season because everything else around you will be crying out and saying, where is God? Why will you not have this? Why will you go? Why? David went through that. Joseph went through that. All these people went through that. But they zeroed in intentionally on the heart of God. And now let's go back to our message. When the prodigal son finally came back home, what did God say? He was dead, he's now alive, lost and found. Why? God is saying, that's in the physical. The father was telling him. So now, let's switch to the spiritual. Now that we understand the physical, let's look at the spiritual. So in the spiritual, what the Lord is saying to us, to the Bible, to the people that were listening to him, he says, until you really seek first the kingdom and you come into that relationship and you know that you know you are his son and God is your father, until you come into that inheritance of sonship, into that intimacy for which Jesus died, for which he paid the price to reconcile us to the Father's heart, until we really find that place, Jesus is saying, we are still like people that are lost. It's like we are still like we are dead. Because the very reason that Jesus came, that we lost in Genesis through Adam, until that reason is restored, which is the presence, which is the glory of God, until we now are comfortable with our priority, until we are content with God being all that we want, regardless of what we have physically or not, until we're content with, I have now found what I'm lost, my Father. God, you are everything. It doesn't matter what I own, what I don't own, until we come into that intimacy, that grip, or at least that revelation that God is what I lost, my Father. Until we hit that, we are still, Jesus is saying, we are seeking the wrong thing. Because we're still acting like heathens. We're still acting like lost people. We're still acting like dead people. Because now he's saying, dead people, their priority is seeking after material things. Because material things does not satisfy spiritual longing. He says lost people means you are lost because you're disconnected from the very thing that you're looking for. That is God's presence. So, that's how God started answering my question about why must this be priority? And when he said the word seek, it's not something you just over. It's a diligent, a discipline of living for the presence of God. Either through fasting, either through giving, either through waiting, either through worship, but it's a daily lifestyle. That does not keep you from your job, doesn't keep you from family life, doesn't keep you from anything, but it puts that above everything else. And that's what God is talking about. If that's not where we are, that's where God is calling us. And when God finds a generation or a people that do that, God now turns around and now puts them back where children, God's children, belong. And now God gives us authority and dominion over wealth and over the systems of this world and over the things. My brother, it's not only about Joseph. It's not only about Daniel. It's happening in our time. And God is calling us back to that place where millionaires listen to us. They seek counsel from us. Millionaires, they are Christian millionaires, they might be hidden millionaires, where government leaders look to us for prayer, look to us for counsel. It's happening. I've tasted a little bit of this in various levels in this country, where these people I'm talking about, they look to you just to pray for them. They look to you to give them advice. Some of them, they don't make business decisions until they ask you to pray. Some of the government leaders come and ask you to pray for them. They are seeking your counsel, your wisdom. That's the place that God is calling us as sons. The Bible says in Romans, creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. So my brothers and sisters, it's not easy because everything else is screaming for our attention. And our flesh, everything we have, is screaming to make every other thing our master, except the price we have to pay to prioritize God and His presence in our life. And through scriptures, God has never failed one person who eventually passed that test. He eventually adds, if they don't seek, He adds everything to them and gives them authority in that area. So that's why I'm encouraging us, my brothers and sisters, the price you're paying, your labor in prayer, your waiting on God, is never in vain. Something is happening. God is watching. God, I'm telling you, we're getting close. A breaking forth is upon our generation. And there's going to be a shift. And you will know that God never breaks His promise and His word. You are going to be elevated. You are going to be recognized. You are going to be respected. You are going to be honored in this nation when God comes through as our priority. So God bless you. Let's continue. Stay in this position. God will reward you. And that reward is not very far. In Jesus' name. Amen.